Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, church, for your singing. Good evening. Welcome. Welcome. Good to have you all out tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, just as we begin this evening. We're going to finish some of the, finish what we started this morning. Didn't get through. There were a few other characteristics of soldiers that I wanted to take a look at. And this morning we looked at just one. There's just three more. We won't be terribly long tonight, but I wanted to look at the remainder of our little message this evening. I really appreciated our time together this morning. It just really ministered to me, and I just really appreciated all the effort and everything that the Lord orchestrated in our midst. What a blessing, and again, I appreciate so much to be able to be a part of that. And as we begin this evening, I wanted to start with 2 Timothy chapter 2. I better join you there. And I guess I kind of half quoted these two verses here this morning, but I thought we'd start with them tonight. And I appreciate the hymns that have been chosen because of Remembrance Day tomorrow, because of the topic that we've been discussing and looking at through the day. And I thought we would start with these two verses in Timothy this evening, because as I mentioned this morning, we are ourselves soldiers of Christ, and we don't always view ourselves or see ourselves in light of this title. And yeah, I think it's important to recognize the way in which God sees us, or God equips us to be not only messengers of the gospel, ambassadors of this heavenly country, sowers of the seed of God's word. We are leading by example, discipling others. We have many responsibilities and many titles. And just, again, in lieu of it being Remembrance Day weekend, tomorrow, Monday, being Remembrance Day, and as we've been discussing different aspects of war and militaries and soldiers, those that are in service, those who give up their time, give up their freedoms, give up their lives in service of their nation, and then also as believers in service of the Lord, I thought it would be good to start here this evening. I want to read something as well. I can't remember if I read this yet or not. I might have read it at the men's breakfast, because when we gather together, men, at the breakfast, I often have in my mind, as we like to reiterate, we're seated at the Lord's table together. And it is such a time of encouragement and such a good time of fellowship. And as was already referenced, if you're around on Friday morning about 9 o'clock and you'd like to come for breakfast, please do. We'd love to have you. Another really encouraging time. But just before we get into the remainder of our message tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Let's just read those two verses there. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, God, for each one that's taken the time to be in your house tonight. And Father, we desire to be challenged. We desire to, Lord, certainly be encouraged and edified. We look forward to spending this evening together and encouraging one another and fellowshipping. But Lord, mostly we look forward to hearing from you. And we just ask that you would, Lord, dole out this evening to each and every one of us an encouragement, a challenge, conviction, Lord, where need be, but just remind us, Father, of the privilege it is to serve you in these different capacities, with these different privileges and responsibilities. And Lord, specifically this evening, as we've been discussing throughout the day and thinking about that we get to be soldiers of Christ, the captain of our salvation. And so, Lord, bless us tonight as we look at the remainder of this little message. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, Father, have your way. Give me the words, Lord. Speak to my heart and speak to all of our hearts, Father, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Just before I read the little poem that I have, again, look at these verses. They're quite encouraging. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." So we have some instruction, first of all, to endure hardness. No man that lives godly is going to go through life without any difficulty. But all who live godly will suffer persecution. It's the nature not only of the world that we live in, but it's the nature of war. It's the nature of battle. It's because we're up against an enemy. And so we must endure hardness. And it's a challenge here, thou therefore endure hardness. You can do it, and here's the reason why. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not just a soldier of any old military or a soldier of any old captain, but a soldier of Christ Almighty, the Son of God. Again, the captain of our salvation. And so we're challenged here. We're encouraged to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I can remember, I have no experience in the military, but I do have some experience with cadet camp. And I spent 2 weeks in Cornwallis as a sea cadet. And they put them through their paces at young ages. They want them to recognize what it's all about. And so they don't hold back very much, though we were only, I think I might have been 13 or 14 years old. But I can remember about day three thinking, I don't want to be here anymore. This ain't summer camp. There's no balloon animals and, you know, swims in the lake. It was training, as it were. It was boot camp for young people learning what it was like to be in the military. And I did learn a lot of things. I probably learned how to sail. I learned how to tie knots. And we did some rifle shooting, and we did some camping and some hiking. And there was a lot of great experiences. But there were some things that were hard, some things that I would have rather not do. Brent's shaking his head. He's like, you got it. I know all about it. And I don't know if I don't remember recalling this particular verse at that time in my life, but it would have been helpful. But now I am encouraged to recognize that, yeah, life is hard. It's not a cakewalk. It isn't easy. Nor, I don't think, do we want it to be easy. The difficulties that we go through, the hardness that we must endure shapes us. It molds us. It strengthens us. It helps us understand who our God is that we serve, and that in our weaknesses, He does provide the strength that's necessary. That's why we say at the end of the day, at the end of our lives, it wasn't by our strength, it was because of Him. He did it for us, through us. Even the things that He's called us to do, He does on our behalf. And so as good soldiers this evening, when we leave here tonight and head into the week, let's see ourselves as soldiers of Christ. And we have the sword of the Word of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the whole works, the armor of God, the armor of light. And we serve a captain. We want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, letting our light shine, enduring hardness. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And that's certainly true. If you're in a war, if you're on the front lines, you know, if you're looking out for your buddies on the left and on the right, and they're looking out for you, you're not, you know, putting your gun up and taking out your cell phone and doing some texting or, you know, playing Tetris. Or does anybody play Tetris anymore? you're not being entangled in the affairs of this life. You're not consumed with all of the things that this world wants to consume us with, or distract us with, or lead us away with. But instead, we are focused on the mission. We're focused on the enemy. We're focused on doing the will of our captain as good soldiers. Because no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. It doesn't make sense. It's not a good idea. You know, if you're on the front lines and the enemy is taking shots at you, you don't want to be distracted. You want to be focused. You want to be alert. And not just for your own sake, but for the sake of those around you that you care about. Your friends, those that are looking after your well-being as you battle together, as you fight together, you want to make sure that you're on the top of your game, not just for your own benefit and not just for the benefit of others around you even, but also because of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a good soldier for His sake. It says that ye may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier. Who is that? That is Jesus Christ. And it's incredible to think that I can please Him. We can please our Savior. We can bring joy to Him. We can please Him in what we do. We can honor Him with how we live our lives. And He has allowed us to have the tools and the help and all of the things necessary to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The Word of God itself is an incredible book. It's filled with ammunition. It's like a first aid kit in a lot of ways. It's a roadmap how to navigate through this world. It's a two-way radio. It's how we talk to the Lord. It's how He talks to us. I mean, the Word of God, the Bible itself, is such a tool that we can utilize as soldiers of Christ. And I hope that we are in the Word of God. You know, that's such a cliche thing for any pastor to say, but I think it's the most important thing that we can do in our Christian lives is read the Word of God. Read it, study it, meditate on it, hide it in your heart. study it to show yourselves approved, and then sow it, share it with those around you. And then second to that, of course, and equal to that is prayer, being in communication with the captain, being in communication with that higher power, and allowing the Lord to lead and guide us as we navigate through the battlefields of our lives. And again, what's the war about? It's about souls. We're doing what we can to see souls won for Christ. Essentially, we're looking for recruits, others that will join the army of God, others that will come and join the side that is righteous. And so as soldiers of Christ, there's a little poem I wanted to read. And again, I might have shared this already. I repeat myself a lot, myself. Yeah, I even talk like schizophrenic a little bit, I guess. The Table on the Battlefield. If you've heard it before, you're going to hear it again. But in my mind, this is such a wonderful way to understand not only we as soldiers of Christ, but who our God is. He ministers to us. You know, when we think about the battlefields as we did today, we saw the slides, we saw those pictures, we heard some of the accounts of the militaries and the battles and the difficulties that people endured, and we listened to the story of the two men in the foxhole this morning, those first aid guys. I don't know, what are those guys called that go out and...
Medics.
Okay, there's a word. I think it's medics. So these guys that go out and they risk their lives to patch up, to help, to carry back, to drag back the wounded, to try to minister to their needs. And you know, out of all of the different positions, not only is the Lord the captain of our salvation, but He's a medic. He's the one running out into the battlefields and making sure that we're being cared for and brought back and mended. The Table on the Battlefield sort of pictures this. Let me read it. The Table on the Battlefield. There are times in the midst of the war, weary from battle, my spirit will grumble. Disheartened, degraded, battered, and bruised, unable to fight, my strength is all used. I lose my balance and stumble. It's these moments I know I'm most vulnerable. And I've learned as a soldier, the options are few. In fact, I can say there's really just two, one bleak and the other one wonderful. Give up in the midst of the war. Stop fighting and shining. Stop serving and standing. Lay down and start dying. The lost just abandon and question, what's it all for? Or I can turn and head for the table. A bountiful spread laid out just for me. In the midst of the madness, there's tranquility. Overflowing with blessing, protection, and rest. Despite all the chaos, my captain knows best how to strengthen and help me to stable. So, from the king's royal table I rise. Blessed and refreshed, I'm ready to fight. Back to the battle and dead of the night. My light shining brighter than ever before. My time at his table sustains me once more for the privilege of rescuing lives. And you know, our time together in church, in fellowship such as this, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday nights or a Bible study or sitting at a table with a Christian friend having a cup of coffee, those are the tables on the battlefield. Our times with the Lord in quiet devotion as we look at the Word of God, as we allow those tears to drip on the pages, as we pour our prayers out to Him on behalf of others, as we sometimes, as we reference this Friday morning at the men's breakfast, sometimes we might be praying for somebody that nobody else is praying for. You might have a name that God has given to you that nobody else is bringing before the throne of God. And so there's a real privilege there and a real responsibility. And it's in those times when we pour out our heart and we pray, we do battle on their behalf, that God refreshes us and strengthens us and helps us to stable, even though we're battered and bruised. And there's a lot of imagery, I know, in a poem like this, but that's what helps me sort of understand my position as a soldier of Christ in this world. This morning we talked about one characteristic of a soldier, and or a duty or a calling or however you want to put it, and that is that they risk their lives. They put their lives on the line in duty. The soldier puts his life on the line in battle. And we talked a little bit about that and the fact that to give up your life, as those soldiers who are remembering do, is to give all your love at once. And that's what Christ did for us. It wasn't all his love, but he certainly gave up his life for us because he loved us. And God sent his only begotten son because he loved us. And a God who is love demonstrated quite clearly. That's the evidence that God loves you. You know, if anybody ever asks you, well, prove to me that God loves me. I look around, I don't see how God loves me. He sent his only begotten perfect son to die your death in your place, to suffer for your sins, to pay for your iniquities in your place, so that instead you could be clothed in his righteousness. He took our sin upon himself, he who knew no sin, so that we could wear those robes of righteousness. That's love. That is love. We're going to someday be seated with the Lord Jesus Christ around that table in heaven. And we are already, according to the Bible, seated in the heavenlies, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We have anything and everything we could ever hope for. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a privilege to be a born-again Christian, to be in the armory and the family of God. And so we also put our lives on the line because that's what Christ did. And we may not ever risk our life or literally lay our life down and draw our last breath serving the Lord Jesus Christ, although we might. And many do in some ways. But to give your life, sometimes we give it all at once, as these soldiers we've been talking about today have done in many cases. And then in other cases, to give up your life, we give it out and we dole it out over the period of a lifetime, where we just continuously are giving up our life, giving up our freedom, giving up our own will, denying our flesh, denying ourselves, following Christ, taking up the cross. It's essentially the same thing. And what a privilege to be able to do that. Secondly, in regards to some of the characteristics of soldiers and those that battle and fight, I jotted this down. The soldier faces many fears. And I say faces many fears, but ultimately the soldier overcomes those fears. It's incredible some of the things that we heard again this morning and even chatted again earlier tonight, and some of the things that people have had to endure and go through, and the fear and the trauma as they remember and replay those horrors in their minds over and over again. There's a lot of things to be afraid of, and yet they still rush into battle. They still put on those boots and put on that uniform and pick up that weapon and still confront that enemy on behalf of those back home that they want to protect, that they want to keep safe. That's why I referenced this morning the courage, the bravery, and the nobility of these soldiers. The soldier faces many fears. There was a story, we've probably all heard it, so I'll keep it short, but you've heard the story of the soldier. I don't know if it's a true story or not. I see Brother Phil's here tonight. You may know, you've probably heard the story before yourself. But anyway, I've heard the story about a soldier who was looking to escape, and he was kind of separated from his troop or his battalion or whoever, and he was kind of off by himself in the hills, and there was lots of caves. See, my mind works. Sometimes caves are tombs, right? And this soldier was concerned that one of these caves was going to end up being his tomb. And as he found a little hole, a little cave that was just big enough that he could squeeze into and find a little bit of protection in the back of the cave, so he rushed in there quick, not really thinking, he'd get into this cave, and then he spun around and he's watching out the opening, and he could hear the soldiers working their way up the side of the mountainside, and every once in a while he heard a gunshot go off, and he could hear them talking, and he realized they're searching the caves on the mountainside for me or for others like me. And he waited and he listened as the voices got closer and closer. He prayed, Lord, help me do something. He didn't know what he could. He knew if he came out of that hole, they were going to see him. That was going to be the end of him. But he knew if he just stayed there, eventually they would come to the entrance of the cave, look inside, and just a few feet away, there he would be. And that would be the end of his life. So he prayed. And again, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I like it nonetheless. And as he prayed, he waited and watched, and a spider dangled down from the entrance of the cave, crawled back up again, then dangled down again and began to make a web. Anybody hear this story before? And as he watched, this spider quickly made a web in front of this cave. Eventually, he heard those voices getting even closer, and he thought, this is it. They're almost here. I can hear them. I can hear their feet getting closer. And when they got to the entrance of the cave, they looked and saw the spider web that was there and assumed, well, there's a spider web. Clearly, nobody has crawled inside here. Let's keep going. And away they went. And he faced his fears as best he could. He was afraid, and he asked the Lord for help. And God sent a little spider. And that little spider web kept those bad guys out and kept him safe. You know, there are genuine fears that soldiers face. And even as Christian soldiers, we have fear. There are things that we have to overcome, things that we have to face. Think about the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as every one of them in some way lost their life. And just quickly, Andrew, he was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten, then he was crucified. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. John exiled for his faith to the island of Patmos, where he lived out the rest of his days. Of course, he authored the book of Revelation, as the Lord revealed to him. But then he died. Judas, he was stoned to death, not Iscariot, the other one. Matthew was speared to death. Peter was crucified upside down, as we remember, because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified or to die the same death that his Savior did. Philip also was crucified. So was Simon. Thomas, again, he was also speared to death, as Matthew was. Matthias was stoned to death. The Fox's Book of Martyrs is filled with many accounts of people who gave up their life. And they faced fears. And with the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, many tied to stakes as the sticks and the dry twigs were placed at the bottom of these stakes and the fires were lit. And they sang praises to God and they preached out the gospel and they declared, God forgive them, they know not what they do. All of those things, because of the power and the strength of God, they faced their fears. And the biggest enemy is death. And yet through Christ, we've already been set free from that big enemy. We are delivered from death. But the fear is there nonetheless. Guys like John Bunyan, William Tyndale, and on and on and on the list goes. I thought of 2 Timothy chapter 1. If we're still in Timothy, go there, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's good to remember this. Sometimes we forget. It's amazing what fear can do. Fear can motivate people to do things that they wouldn't normally do, to take risks, to refrain from doing right things. Fear is a very powerful thing. And I think we've all experienced enough fear to recognize that. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's a big old truck coming straight at you, you should be afraid and you should get out of the way, right? I'm not talking about common sense fear. You know, God has given us common sense, and we utilize those sorts of things. I don't swim with sharks because I'm afraid to die. Well, that's a good idea. But when it comes to soldiers of Christ and warring a good warfare, fighting a good fight, enduring hardness, this is a great verse to remember, and I'm sure we all know it. Verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Let me say it like this. Sometimes it's about where you accentuate. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's not from God, and it's not for us. And so when fear fills my heart, I can remind myself that God is back there saying, that's not for me. I'm not the one that's filling your mind with fear. That's the flesh, that's the world, that's the devil, but it's not me. Instead, God would say as we finish the verse, I will give you, or I will impart to you the spirit or the power of love. Excuse me, but of power. I knew I said that wrong. And of love and of a sound mind. And these are the gifts that God gives to us, but not fear. The point is that we don't have to be afraid. And ultimately, through Christ, we can overcome these fears that we have. Whatever it is that we're afraid of, as soldiers of Christ, it's funny what we can be afraid of. Afraid to share the gospel with that high school friend that I know will ridicule me mercilessly for it. Afraid to sit down with a family member that has told me relentlessly, don't ever bring up the name of your God to me. I don't want to hear it. To pray, God, give me an opportunity nonetheless to lovingly tell them about you because I want them to know. That God would help us and give us power to demonstrate that we love Him, not being ashamed of the gospel, not being afraid of what others are going to say by living our life for Christ, suffering for Him. And so we don't have to be afraid. We can be bold. We can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and endure the hardness that comes, whatever it is. Thirdly, this evening, I want to talk about the fact that soldiers often grow weary. They grow tired. You ever been on a death march? Is that what they call it? That I know one guy I know who's a soldier. They referred to a death march. He said you gotta get your backpack, all your stuff, and you load it on your back, and you got all the combat gear on, and away you go. And they make march for I don't know how many miles it is. And it's grueling, and you know, uphill and through mud and through the swamps and the flies and the heat and the whole thing. And the idea is that you don't sleep, you don't eat, you don't stop. And if anybody in the crowd or in your group happens to fall down or pass out or get sick or needs help, then you better help him. Everybody rallies around that guy, but you all get there together at the same time. I talked to a friend who was an officer in the Army who went through what he referred to as the death march, and he was telling us, oh, it was unreal. I didn't think I was going to make it. And so many guys don't, but that's the idea. You don't have a choice. You must make it. And that's why we help each other. But he said, I was so exhausted. I was so tired. I hadn't slept. I had hardly anything in my stomach. I was just weak, and I had no energy. And it was all I could do just to take one foot and step it in front of the other. And we were still a long ways from where we needed to be. He said, at one point, we were actually able to sit down for a couple of minutes, get a drink of water. And I sat down, and I started to see butterflies. I said, butterfly, yep. He said, and they weren't real. I was just so exhausted, so weary from the march, so weary from the battle. I thought, well, sometimes soldiers do get weary. And as Christian soldiers, sometimes we get weary. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, I believe, says, brethren, be ye not weary in well-doing. Because sometimes we do. We get tired. What happens when you get tired, by the way? When you get tired of doing something, you don't want to do it anymore. That's usually the way it works, right? This ain't no more fun. I don't want to do this anymore. I quit. I'm out of here. I'm finished. And that's why I believe the scriptures encourage us. Don't be weary in your well-doing. Keep it up. God will strengthen us. He'll give us the power, the strength that we need. I jotted down here, Christian soldiers can push on in battle though we grow weary, knowing that rest will come. That's what motivates those soldiers. At the end of their death march is respite, is rest. It's a leave. It's an opportunity to have a couple of days off, to maybe see some family, to do some shopping, to get some rest, whatever the case might be. And that's what motivates them, to keep on going. And that's what motivates us as Christian soldiers. Heaven is not that far away. It's just right there. You can see that beautiful emerald rainbow throne just shining. It's just right there. And we just got to keep going a little bit further and just ask that captain of our salvation for just enough strength to make it right to the threshold, but to keep on keeping on. And by the way, when my companion beside me or behind me or in front of me can't carry their load anymore, I step in and I bear one another's burdens. So how can I help you? What can I do? You know, it's a privilege to be a part of the army of God, to be a soldier of Christ, and to aid one another. I've had people come up alongside me many times. Let me carry this for you. Let me carry you. Because we get weary in our well-doing. We get tired day after day, week after week. We watch what we say. We watch what we do. We correct ourselves. We keep short accounts. We resist temptation. We submit to God and not the enemy. And it wears us out after a while. And the enemy keeps throwing punches. He keeps throwing jabs. He keeps firing those fiery darts. And we keep on keeping on. And it gets hard after a while. We get weary. We pray day after day and year after year that loved ones and friends would come to know Christ. And we get weary even in doing that. I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing seems to change. And I pray and I pray some more and still there's no change. And I just, what's the point? And yet I know God hears me and I know that God has called me to pray and I must be faith-filled. And so for the sake of the faithless, I will be faithful. And God, give me strength not to grow weary but to be consistent and to keep on praying. Why? Because I want to see that face on the other side of that river of life smiling back at me. And so, we keep on keeping on. We hold to the truth of God's word with all our might. We don't let it go. Paul instructed Timothy to do that very thing. Don't let it go. You hold fast to that truth because everyone around us, like dogs. I can remember once, this is kind of a gruesome story, and it just came to my mind. I'm going to share it nonetheless. You can correct me on the way out the door, but once in Manitoba, Leaf Rapids, I can remember walking down the street. My mom had just sent me home for the kittens that our cats just had. And my mom was visiting a neighbor up the road, and they were talking, and then my mom said, oh, our cat just had kittens. And the neighbor said, oh, I'd like to maybe have one. Tim, go get those kittens. I think there was three, and our neighbor might pick one out. So a little guy I was, and I went down to the house, and we lived in Leaf Rapids on a reserve there, and there were many dogs, and these dogs would roam around in packs. And as I was coming back with an armload of kittens, there happened to be a pack of five or six dogs that just were wandering down the street, and just like that, they smelled those kittens or saw them or whatever, and they were all over me. Anyway, I won't finish the rest of the story, but you can imagine what happens. Kind of traumatizing for a little guy. The point is, the world does that to us. Like vicious dogs trying to nip away at us and chip away at us and grab a little bit of that truth and a little bit more of that truth, a little bit more, and wearing us down and breaking us apart and doing whatever they can to try to make us weary in well-doing, so we'll just give up. I'm done. And it's hard. Our Savior himself physically was so beaten, was so exhausted, that there came a point when he could no longer carry the cross that he died on for you and I. And he fell under the weight of it. And a man, one of the most privileged men that I know of in Scripture, was asked, come and carry this cross for him. I don't know if Simeon realized what a privilege that was to carry that load for Christ, who died on the cross for him. But that's what we do. And God gives us the strength as soldiers to keep on keeping on. These are our stories. And someday, not now, we don't always appreciate it now, but someday when we look back, we will give God praise and thanks. We will say, thank you, Lord. Look what you helped me do for you. All the glory goes to you, and yet I get to be a part of this. It's wonderful to be a soldier of Christ. And not to let the enemy pick away at you and wear you out. Not to be weary in well-doing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I believe that to be true. Corinthians, turn there please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know if we have time to read it all, but I love that. To me, it comes across like a pep talk. A speech for the troops. You can imagine getting ready to go out onto the battlefield. In comes the sergeant, and he sits those soldiers down, and he gives them a pep talk, and he says, guys, you can do it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, but you got it in you, and I want you to give it everything you got, and you look after one another, and you don't give up no matter what, and you just keep on keeping on. You go, you go, you go, and those pep talks sometimes motivate us. They help us. We remember those words. Well, as I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and again, every verse, I don't know what verse I would leave out, but let's read it with me. Follow along as I read, but listen to these words. I'm just going to start in the beginning. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. By the way, if the gospel is hid from them that are lost, it's hid by us who are found, because we're the only ones who have it. And the God of this world, it says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Again, what a privilege to live like Christ, to follow His example, to picture Christ in our life, that the world might see Him, not us. We decrease, but Christ increases. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. Remember in Acts, one of the biggest themes in that study so far is, shut up, be quiet, stop teaching, stop speaking the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is power in that name and that name alone. But like these soldiers, we will speak it nonetheless. And no matter how weary we get, we're going to keep on speaking it. Verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause, again, it says, we faint not. There it is again. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on. It will be worth it. We'll look back and we'll give God thanks. But though our outward man perish, and boy, does it ever. We are weak physically, and our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, made new, refreshed, strengthened day by day. That's encouraging to know that. God's mercies are new every day, and I might be worn out to the lowest and wonder how I'm even going to get out of bed in the morning, and yet the inward man, it can be encouraged, can be strengthened by the presence of God, the Word of God, and the prayers of the people of God. And yet I find myself once again plodding the streets, sharing the gospel, not because of me. If it was up to me, I'd have left town. I would have been AWOL long ago, but because of Christ. He gets all the glory. Verse 17, for the light affliction, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Boy, it doesn't feel like that, does it? Our light affliction, but for a moment, compared to eternity and compared to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and reward day, it is a light affliction, and it is only a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That emerald rainbow over the throne. Just on the other side of that crystal sea, right there. We see it through our eyes of faith, as we have read in the Scriptures. And it motivates us to keep going. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the pep talk of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the soldiers get. We recall even the captain of salvation, our Savior Jesus Christ. He understands what it means to be weary. As he sat on a well, talked to a woman, needed a drink of water, continuing to do the work of the Father. I must needs go to Samaria. As he prayed in the garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood as he wrestled in agony and prayer, about to take my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world on his body, and was about to drink down the dregs to the last drop of the wrath of God for me and for you so we wouldn't have to. He was weary. Remember how the angels came and ministered to him there in the garden as he hung on the cross. 7 different times he spoke. One of those times, he said, I thirst. And they gave him no drink, the one who created the seas and the fountains. He hung there weary, broken, his body battered beyond recognition. And he was tired and he suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ understands what it means to grow weary. And yet spiritually he never wavered, not once. And with his help, he'll help us. We can follow that example. Fourthly, this evening as we close, I learned this about soldiers long ago, and that soldiers are honored. I can remember different times literally sitting in my grandfather's living room, not really recognizing or understanding in that day and age that my grandfather participated. He was an MP policeman in World War II, and he's seen some of these things up close and personal, as many of our family members did. But I can remember watching, you know, on the television, these different wars and documentaries, and he was seemed to be interested in those things. And, you know, when you're at your grandparents' house and there's only two channels, you watch whatever's on and you just, you know, you don't complain about it. And I remember watching a lot of those things and seeing different soldiers that were given honors and accolades and praise for their bravery and their courage, and medals were pinned on them and people applauded, and as they were paraded away, there was all kinds of people clapping, and they were honored and they were exalted. And I thought, wow, that looks so cool. You know, I'd like to be a hero like that. I'd like to be a soldier like that and to be brave like that. And not for the accolades and the glory necessarily, but because it's heroic, it's right, it's brave, it's courageous. And we have that privilege. We have that privilege. Soldiers are honored. There is at the back table some medals there. Lots of pictures we've seen. Even had our military man wearing some medals today. And that's the purpose for them, to demonstrate that this individual needs to be honored for their service because of what they've done, because of how they set aside themselves and their own freedoms for us and for the nation. And as Christians, we get to have that same privilege. There are medals and honors given to soldiers for acts of bravery in the face of the enemy, acts of courage, the Victorian Cross, the Star of Military Valor, the Cross of Valor, the Star of Courage, the Medal of Bravery, on and on and on. Different medals, different awards. As Christian soldiers, reward day is coming for us. I've referenced that a couple of different times, but imagine it. And it's not for me. It's not for us. It's not that we desire for all of heaven to look at us and say, wow, look what this brave soldier did for the captain. Well, look what he did for the king. He was a mighty soldier. All hail this wonderful. No, it's not about that. It's that I can look and say, Lord, this is how much I loved you, and I wish there were many, many more, but it's because of you that I even get to wear a medal. Or as Revelation 4, verse 12 says, cast a crown at your feet and say, it's because of you that I have this reward. We think about those different crowns and those different rewards that the Scriptures talk about. Crown of rejoicing and the incorruptible crown and the crown of life. There are genuine rewards. Though Christ is the greatest reward of all, to spend eternity with Him. And so, just in closing, a soldier gives his life in service. He faces and overcomes many fears. They do grow weary from time to time, but there is strength at the table on the battlefield. What does it say in Psalm 23? He will prepare a table for me in the midst or in the presence of mine enemies. Come, sit. Don't worry about those guys. They won't touch a thing. You're safe. Come and dine with me. We are so safe in the will of God. And finally, as I mentioned, someday we'll be able to experience the joy, Lord willing, of hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant, or good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, war's got a lot of things in it we don't like. But the thing about war is, when you fight them, eventually they come to an end. The harder you fight, depending on who the heroes are and who's helping, victory will eventually come. And we know that the captain of our salvation, the King of Kings, is the one that's leading us to victory. And He has already declared, you win. Isn't that great news? And someday we'll get to experience what it's going to be like to be with all of the soldiers, all of the people of God, and the wars will be over. And it'll be time for rest. And so we just remember these things as we think about Remembrance Day, as we think about what it means to be a soldier of Christ. Oh, there's so much more in life than just trying to be good, you know, trying not to do bad things. Oh, no. There's way more to it than that as a Christian. There's so much more. And I love that these opportunities that we have, and like Remembrance Day, reminds us of who we are in Christ. Soldiers. Anyway, I appreciate your listening ears. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for the day today. And as we reflect on the servicemen and women, as we reflect on the difficult things of life, wars and loss and death, trauma. Lord, we are often discouraged by these things, and rightfully so. And yet, even in the midst of all of those difficulties, we hear stories of victory. We hear stories of people coming together and working together. We hear the good news stories as well. And we thank you, Father, that we know without any doubt, without the shadow of any doubt, that our story is a good news story. That we are victorious through Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being soldiers of Christ. And we pray that you would use us, equip us, strengthen us, protect us, and help us to be mindful of our responsibilities every day, to be good soldiers, to endure that hardness, not to let the enemy, Lord, get in there in any way. Thank you, God, for the day today. Thank you for each one that's taken the time to be here again this evening. And Lord, would you bless us this week with things that we, in turn, can use to bless others with? Encourage our hearts. Strengthen those that are grieving, many that are ill, and even some not able to be here tonight. Lord, be with them. But God, ultimately, we just pray that you would use us for the glory of Christ. We don't know how much time we have. We might have a day, we might have an hour, we might have a week. We don't know. Lord, you do. We just want to redeem the time wisely while we still have it to bring glory to your name. So help us, Father, we pray to do that. As individuals in here at Bethel Baptist Church, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.